Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 as we continue to systematically look through the Word of God. And I know it's been a long chapter. There's a lot of, you guys got to remember, there's a lot of verses in this chapter. There's a lot of practical things that are in there that we can live and apply to our life. And it just seems long because you got to remember I was gone for 3 weeks when I went to China. So that was a break there. And then we had another thing come up. And so that's why it's taking a lot. It's not like, okay, we have been in 6 weeks in one chapter, but it looks like it's heading in that direction. So, but hey, praise the Lord. We're talking about the birth of our Lord and Savior. We're talking about his conception here. And so if you remember last week, we looked at how Gabriel told Mary that she was very favored by God and that she would bear a son and that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And Gabriel, he gave her three profound things that were mentioned about her son, things that would separate her child from any other child or any other child in the womb of another woman, but even any child ever born, even greater than John the Baptist. And he was pretty great. And so we were looking at this, and the first thing we were looking at was very important was his name. His name was Jesus. Now, you got to remember, Jesus was a very common name back then, but what set his name apart from any other Jesus was the fact that it was God who named him. Man, I would love to be named by God, you know, and I was. It just Gabriel didn't come down to my mom and say, hey, call his name Steve, or actually Stephen, you know, because that's on my birth certificate, Stephen. But he was named by God. God named him, and that his name would be great, and he would be above any other name. In fact, Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 12, Paul said, there is no salvation in any other, for there's no name under heaven given among men which we should be saved. And then secondly, we looked at this important fact. He talked about, share with Mary about his person. In verse 32, look at verse 32. He says, not only will he be great, but he will be called the Son of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 32, that he would be called the Son of God. He was called the Son of the Highest, which made Jesus to be the Son of God, that Jesus would be equal to God. And not only that, that Jesus also would be the Son of David. And that and he would also receive the throne of David. So he was of the line of David, which also Mary was a descendant of David as well. And in fact, 2 Samuel chapter 2, you can look at it yourself. Actually, I'm just going to read a few verses there where it talked about how David, the prophet Nathan, came to David and he prophesied that how Jesus was going to be the Messiah. He prophesied about the Messiah in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Guys, forever is a very long time. You will never reach the end of forever. Never. Think about that. And those in Christ will, you know, we're going to have an end. If we die, we will have an end. Or if Jesus should tarry, we're going to die, we're going to have an end. But if the rapture comes, or whether we live or die, then forever will be given to us. Wouldn't you want to live forever in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? When we think of eternal life, you don't think of that word forever. He said that his throne will, his kingdom will last forever. It's a very long time. And every time I read that word, I always think of that movie Sandlot where the guy says, how long should I tie my dog? Forever. Forever. I don't know if you've seen that part, but you probably seen what it, you know, you can go on and you watch it yourself, but it's a very long time. So Jesus was the Son of Mary, but he's going to be known as the Son of God. And then thirdly, it talks about, he mentioned to Mary that His eternal kingdom will come. Look at verse 32. It says that Jesus came and he came to teach that his kingdom will not be of this earth, because nothing on this earth lasts. You guys got anything that has last? I looked at this. I have a soccer ball that was signed by all of the San Diego soccer team for way back, right? And I thought, okay, this is going to last. And then we have another soccer ball that was signed by one of the ladies in the very first U.S. Olympic team when they won the gold medal. Her name was Naham. I can't remember. And Monique got her signature because she played club soccer. And when I look at that ball, her name is faded. And I'm thinking, wow, what a bummer. But it just proves nothing on this earth will last forever. Amen. That's why you don't put your trust in the things of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. In chapter 18, verse 20, 36, it says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So if his kingdom is not from here, his kingdom that he's talking about a spiritual kingdom. And that's why it will last forever. That's why Jesus' kingdom is going to last forever, because he's talking about that kingdom of heaven. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly one, which is not going to last. You know, you think about it, when you look at all these kingdoms and all these historical kingdoms and big events, you know, big things that man has created, nothing lasts forever. We only see the remnant of these great kingdoms on earth. You know, the great things that man has done, they don't last. I don't care if they're even superseded. Everything that man does, it's always being superseded by somebody else. They make it better, because why? It will not last. I think of the Great Wall of China, one of the most, I love going there. Every time I go to China, I go there, and it just amazes me that God gave them this ability and this wisdom and knowledge to build this wall, but it's crumbling. It's falling apart. This thing went for forever and in earthly terms forever, but then you get to a point you can't even go any further because it's missing. It does not add. It does not last, but God's kingdom is eternal. It's forever. And then look at verse 34. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I've not known a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, this is interesting, because it's just like Sarah, you know, Sarah and Abraham. Remember when Sarah and Abraham couldn't have no children, and the Lord came in Christ, they came and visited them, and she was told that she would have a son at her old age, and the first thing that she said was, how can this be? We are too old, right? Remember the story? And then like Zacharias in Luke chapter, in this chapter, verse 18, when the same thing, when Gabriel came to Zacharias and told him that they would have a son, his words was, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is older, or well advanced in years. It doesn't really say she's older, but when I read this, my wife is well advanced in years. He says, I'm just an old man, but my wife is well advanced in years, you know. And then Mary here, she asked the same question from the angel Gabriel. But if you notice here, that when Mary asked, she asked with this totally different motive and attitude of the heart, because she was asking with this logical viewpoint. She was asking in a way, she's saying, okay, you know, she accepts what the angel said, but how would these things take place? And that's why she said in verse 34, how can this be, since I do not know a man? So because Mary knew that it takes two to make one. Yeah, it takes two. It takes a man and a wife to make a child. She knew this. So she's asking the question with a how will this happen type of faith. She's not doubting. She's not unbelieving. She's just, okay, it's like she wanted more details, right? where Zechariah and Sarah, they were asking from this skeptical type of faith of unbelief. But Mary wasn't doubting. She was not trusting what was told to her. She knew the scriptures. She knew that this was not going to be, that when Gabriel came, this guy is not an ordinary man. I mean, if an angel came to you, trust me, you are going to know it's an angel. And whatever this angel says to you, if you know it's from God, you know it's going to come to pass. But again, that is, why is it that always our flesh always gets in the way? You know, our flesh always wants to, okay, how or why or, you know, and but Mary knew that this was not an ordinary man. She knew that she was a virgin, and everything just kind of fell right into place. It all fell in the line with what the Word of God said. And so how this would happen when she said this, you know, how will this happen? She was not asking for a sign or proof like Zechariah did in verse 18 when he says, okay, when they Gabriel said you guys are going to have a child, he says, how shall I know this? You know, how should I know this? Mary just wanted to know how this was going to take place. Being that she was what? Single. She's never been with a man sexually. So how can she have a child without knowing a man? Well, the Lord answers her questions through Gabriel in the next verse. Look at verse 35. And then the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. And it gave us to Mary. You know what? Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Now, this is very interesting that this word overshadow, in the Greek, it means to cover with a cloud. That's exactly what it means, to cover with a cloud. So it's just like when the kind of glory of God, or the Shekinah, or the Shekinah glory. It depends on how you say it or how you perceive it. I just say the Shekinah glory. Sometimes I actually say the Shekinah glory of God. When it came down and it covered the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know the story with Moses when they left Egypt, how God's glory was in the presence. It covered the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was in the form of a cloud, came down and covered the tent, and God's presence was in it. And he would speak to Moses in front of the people. And you can read about that in Exodus 16, 19, 24, 34, chapter 40. You can read it. I'm not going to go through it. You read it. And so in the like the same way, or when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember that when he took a few of the disciples with him and he was on the mountain, then this cloud came down and covered him, and they looked and they saw Moses and Elijah. And that's when I think it was Peter or John, which one? Peter said, hey, Lord, let us build them a tent also for Elijah and Moses. When that cloud of Transfiguration came down, It covered Jesus. It covered them. And the Lord spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. And we're going to look at that in chapter 19 some year. I'm just preparing you. Okay. But it's the visible manifestation of the glory of God. It's the presence of God that works in the Old Testament, or that worked in the Old Testament, was now going to work in the New Testament in the life of Mary. Isn't that why Jesus said that he's the what? The same yesterday, today, and what? Forever, right? He's the same. So the Holy, he said, you know, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And it's not going to be in the same manner of men, but in the manner of God's Spirit. And it will be God's Spirit just speaking it. And it's done. Okay? There's not going to be any sexual intimacy between Mary and the Holy Spirit. You know, back then, there was a couple of rumors that was going around at that time when Mary was pregnant, because she was a virgin and she wasn't married to Joseph yet. There's two rumors that were going around that I found through a few commentaries. And one of them was that God came down and possessed a man and had intimacy with Mary. Another one was that she was raped by a Roman soldier. But isn't that funny how the world always try to figure out God? Or we're trying to have some kind of logical explanation to prove that it's not a supernatural act of God, but a natural act. I mean, I even did. Remember I told the story about China when I had that encounter in that 200-year-old home? And I had that demonic encounter. I try to debunk it. I got up and I said, okay, there's a logical explanation of why these noises and these things are happening. And when I saw the manifestation of that demon there, you know, and I thought, okay, am I really seeing this, or is it just I'm old and I can't see, you know? It's just man's flesh. It's our nature to try to figure out God. Even Solomon tried. He even said, you know what? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, just acknowledge God, and he will lead and direct you. And Solomon was what? The smartest man around, the wisest. You know, ain't no one going to outsmart him. So it wasn't going to be through man's doing. And God is not like a man who needs material things to create, right? God doesn't need material things to create. He just speaks it, and it's done. Man needs to create. Man tries to imitate God. Satan tried to be like God, and he needed material things, but he couldn't do it. So this work of the Holy Spirit would be supervised by God himself. And Mary, he says, the power of the highest, which is God, he's the highest, shall overshadow you. God himself is going to look after this whole matter. Jesus' conception, his growth during in Mary's stomach there, Mary's pregnancy, his birth, his life, it's all going to be under the shadow, the covering of the Almighty God by his power. Don't ever forget that in your life, too. So important. When I think of Jacob, you know, and how he's going to have this operation, you know what? He's under the shadow of God's Holy Spirit. Jonah, what did I say? No, I said Jonah. You guys just thought I said Jacob. No. I didn't say Sam. He's going to be shadow over the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's going to be there. The Almighty God's going to be by his power that he's going to see him through. And here with Mary, it wasn't even by the power of Gabriel when he came to her and he spoke. It wasn't by his power. It's not going to be by the work of men. Now, Mary, she only supplied her body. God used her to carry the child. She supplied her love, you know, her total life. But it was by God's power only that started the salvation process for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us this. Tells us that we were elected by God. We were set apart by the Spirit. We were justified by the blood of Christ. And nowhere does it tell us that Mary played a part in this process of eternal life. Mary's not a co-redemptress. She was never meant to be worshipped. She couldn't be worshipped if she wanted to, because she was born a natural sinner. We all were. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And this is why Mary had to be overshadowed by God himself, because only someone who is sinless can forgive sin. Got to be sinless. If you're going around and say, hey, your sins are forgiven, are you sinless? You know? I can pray, and you can pray. God made it easy for us because he said this. He says, if you just confess your sins to one another, and if you repent, you will be saved, and your sins will be forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's going to cast them from you. But you cannot go around and say, hey, you know what? Your sins are forgiven you. Because we are born natural sinners. Jesus can only say your sins are forgiven. How could Jesus say your sins are forgiven if he was born of Joseph? Then Jesus would have known sin like we do, and he would have been born a sinner. He would have been born a natural sinner like Andy. I mean Mary. Mary. And then you know what? He would have been like the Pharisees, guys, who said, hey, you know what? Do what I say, but don't do what I do. I mean, how many times we hear that one, you know? Well, look at verse 35. Look at the bottom of 35. It says, therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The child born of Mary would be holy. He'll be the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. and he will be known as God's son, even though he was Mary's son, but he would be known as God's son. And the reason being is because what? He's the Holy One. He's born of the power of the Word and of the will of God through the Virgin Mary. In fact, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, he said this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I'm a son of God. You're daughters and sons of God. I mean, isn't that awesome? And it was because the Holy Spirit overshadowed us and God came into our lives. Look at verse 36. Gabriel says, Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be what? Don't forget that. So too many times we forget that with God, you know, with God, nothing will be impossible. With us, it's impossible, obviously. And I really believe that this is the reason why Mary was able to accept, to believe, and to be encouraged by what was taking place right there with her and Gabriel, is the fact that Gabriel tells her, with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing. He doesn't say some things, or only the things that you go through, or maybe one or two things are possible. He says, nothing is impossible. Nothing. I don't care what you go through, it's not impossible. And so God encouraged Mary with two impossible facts. And this is what helped her faith. The first fact is what? The fact that her relative Elizabeth, who was beyond childbearing, also had conceived a son in her old age and was now 6 months pregnant. The fact that God could cause a woman that is beyond having a baby get pregnant the natural way. Okay, that's my children. They all do that, you know. And it has to come with affection. You know, when you think about that, they were old guys. Elizabeth did not have a miraculous conception like Mary. God did not speak it in her. Her and Zechariah had to have intimacy. And I don't want to put that thought in your mind, you know, but it was the natural way. So we're definitely, it shows that, and it demonstrates God's omnipotent power. And when Mary goes and sees her, this is also going to encourage her. And this will build her faith, knowing that this can only be from an act of God. So, you know, let it build your faith as well. Romans chapter 15 tells us, verse 4 and 5, it says, whatever things were written, guys, before were written for what? Our learning that through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope. The Word of God was written for our learning. And that's why you learn from what is said here. You allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's nothing impossible. And then secondly, with man, much is impossible. And I'm finding that out a lot. And things I do, and I'm finding out that with me, a lot of things are impossible. You know what, Zechariah? Yeah, okay. Is there a club? I'll join it. Yeah, we're all in it. Yeah, yeah. Zacharias and Elizabeth could not have a child without God helping them. Mary could not have a child without knowing a man. So God spoke it and it was done. So when Mary heard that with God all things are possible, she was encouraged by this. It came from God. Look at verse 38. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Look how Mary responded to everything that was told to her by faith. She responded by faith. She says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. See, we should be able to say, behold, servant of the Lord. I love calling some of you guys, you know, you servant of the Most High God. I think everybody who's serving the Lord, you're a servant of the Most High God. Yeah, I call him a Levite because he's always, well, he walks around here. Every time he comes to the church, he walks around, he picks up trash, cigarette butts, things that you wouldn't touch. And he picks them up. Why? Because this is the house of God. And because that's what God called him to do. Not only to pick up trash, but he also is out there and he's planting seeds, watering seeds, and allowing people to be raised up by God because he's an ambassador of Christ. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." The word maidservant, it means slave girl. It means Mary was saying that she was a bond slave, willing to sell herself out completely to God. She was totally letting go and letting God. She gave herself completely to God. How many of you are doing that this morning? Are you giving? Are you sold out for the Lord? Are you really? Are you willing to sell yourself completely to God? Or are you just giving him part-time? Are you a full-time employee of God, or are you a part-time employee of God? Are you salary, or are you hourly? Are you punching in and punching out, or are you just saying, you know what, Lord, I want to give myself completely to you? And it was God's word that was her will. She made God's word her will. She made God's word her life, her way of living. She was saying, it's like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. She said, let it be according to your word. And I think you should underline that. If it's not underlined, underline it. Underline it in the Bible next to you. Highlight it. Remember those words. Meditate on them. And allow them, like Mary, to where you will be able to surrender yourself totally and willingly to obey God. Be completely obedient to the fulfilling of his purpose entirely. Not your purpose, his purpose. That's what I want. I don't want a free will. I really don't. If I had the choice of God say, okay, Pastor, you can have a free will, or you know, you can just be my slave. And you're not going to do anything or say anything or just what I tell you. I would want that. I hate my free will. Because like Paul, who says, you know what, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. How often we go through that. But the reason why he gives us free will, because it proves how much we really love him. And it proves how much he really loves us. God says, you know what, if I give you your free will, you know, then my relationship with God is going to be out of love. It's not going to be out of a master and slave relationship. It's going to be out of love. Man, I just love the Lord. And so with man, it's impossible. And I love the way Mary responded here. Meditate on that word. Let it be according to your word. And like Mary, allow it to allow you to be completely obedient to the fulfilling of his purpose. Mary was just acting according to his word, thy word. In spite of what she's about to go through, guys, the ridicule, the possibility of being stoned for an act of fornication. You know what? Everybody's staring at her, the rumors. And yet she purposed in her heart that she would not let what others say or do determine her worship and her obedience of God. Don't matter. It'll be like, okay, when you guys, I forgot to tell you guys, when you leave these stores here, they're going to ridicule you. They're going to persecute you. There are some of you, they're going to stone you. And I'm talking with rocks. I don't want you guys to say, oh, yeah. They're going to stone you. They're going to beat you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you when you go out that front door. How many of you are going to go out the back door? Yeah. You know, one of the, I love this, this is actually really happened. You know, we come and we worship the Lord, and you know, I know a lot of you like to sit in the very back. You don't like to sit up in the very front, and a lot of times the front rows were empty. This one service, this pastor, he noticed that this was a habit. He kept encouraging, sit up front, and they wouldn't do it. So what he did is when everybody came in, as usual, they all sat, you know, mostly in the back. He got his mic, he walked over to the back, And he says, okay, everybody turn around this way. And everybody turned around, and they were in the front row. You know, Lord, let it be according to your word. You know, Mary had to, you know, Mary was obedient. She didn't allow what others thought of her or what they were going to say to determine her worship and obedience on God. She didn't allow it to determine her faith to God working in her life. I'm proud of you guys that you didn't allow that over there to determine you coming in here. Because there are some who, they'll come and say, I didn't come because I couldn't find parking. You know what? If you don't find parking, call me. I'll move my car and you can have my spot. I don't care. I'll just throw one of those scooters in the back and park way over there and just ride it back up. There's a way to get around this. You know, she didn't determine that. Her words were, let it be according to your word, Lord. It reminds me of Jesus' word, Matthew 26, where he says, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours will be done. What if Jesus would have had his will done? Then we would be men most miserable. Because it tells us if Jesus did not rise from the dead, and if in this life alone we have Jesus, we're going to be miserable. But because he said these words, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, he died on the cross, and therefore he was risen from the dead. And because he was risen from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. I am looking forward to that day, aren't you? Lord, let it be according to your word. So Mary's first response by accepting and agreeing with what Gabriel said about her. May we never forget who we are in the Lord. May we never forget who we are in public, who we are in private. Never doubt how the Lord feels about you. Never doubt it. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is what the Lord said to his people. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future and a hope. Isn't that beautiful? Mary was the maidservant of the Lord. She was going to receive what Gabriel said about her, her faith. You know, she accepted what he said to her. God expects us to believe him and the power in his power in our lives as well, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our feelings or how we see ourselves. Don't forget that all things are possible with God. Amen. Amen.